We began a new series a few weeks ago that we're calling Free from Sin. Free from Sin. If you spent much time in the Scriptures, then you've come across the topic of sin. There are hundreds and hundreds of verses about sin in the Bible. It's a word and an idea that a lot of modern folks and church-going people try to avoid. And sometimes people replace the word with people no longer have sins, they have issues. Problems. But the Bible talks about sin. And sin was why Jesus had to come. It's why he went to the cross. It's what he did at the cross was pay for our sins. And the Bible says that we have been delivered and made free. And we'll see that, you know, the Scripture says that we're free from sin, we're dead to sin, and that sin shall not have dominion over us. And if this is true, it is, the Bible says it is, then why are so many Christians still sinning so much? Do we need answers to these things? And tell me what the truth will do for us. It'll make us free. So are you believing with me on this? And thank you. I would appreciate it. Look in Romans, the 6th chapter. Romans chapter 6. If you're interested in this, let me encourage you. Take your time and read carefully. I mean the whole book of Romans. But especially this 5, 6, and 7, and 8, because it deals so much with this topic that we're talking about in Romans. Romans 6:1. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? He's talking in these passages about how to see the law, how to see sin in light of grace and the new covenant. He said, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? What's the answer? Verse 2?
No.
God forbid, or some translations say, let it not be, may it not be. In other words, no, that's not how you should think. You should not think, well, because we're under grace, sin doesn't matter.
Come on.
Hmm? Come on. He's saying, no, you don't think like that. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? So should we live in sin or should we be free from it? Should we be dead to it? Keep going, verse 3. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death? Now we're at some point, I think we'll get into more about in him reality. And this is so big, because everything that Jesus did in the his being scourged, being whipped, being crucified, dying, being buried, being raised, ascending on high. Everything he did not do for himself. He did it all for us. And having done it for, he did it as us. He did it as a human being. And so those who receive Christ or whether they realize it or not, they're receiving what he has done for us in our place. And what the scripture tells us to do, like in Galatians 2:20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Now, we haven't thought enough that way, have we? People say, well, Jesus was crucified for me. He was, but how he wants you to see it is that you were crucified in him. Hmm? Are y'all with me? Say it out loud. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. Hallelujah. We need to get in our mouth that I died. I was buried. I was crucified. And I have been raised again. Hallelujah. In Christ. I'm in him. He's in me. Now, whether your head understands that or not, you want to accept it by faith and you want to get it in your mouth and agree with him. And this is key to being free from sin. This is key. Keep reading. He said, if we've been planted together in the likeness of his death, we'll also in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him. Why? Why? That the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth or from now on, we should not serve sin. Why? Because dead people have no trouble with sin. Is that right? Verse 7, very next verse. For he that is dead is freed from sin. Dead person laying in the casket, you cannot tempt them to lie or steal or anything. Right? You can make them the most amazing offers and lures and anything. No change in their expression. Why? Dead. Somebody said, yeah, but I ain't dead. The Bible says you are. Y'all going to help me with this or not? And that's why he goes on to say in verse 11, likewise, reckon you also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive to God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Can you see the death and the resurrection?
Yes.
This is what Jesus accomplished for us. Now when he says reckon yourselves to be dead, if you looked dead and felt dead, you would not need to reckon yourself to be dead. So this is something we must make a choice to actively say and do. Say it out loud. I am dead to sin. I am alive to God through Jesus Christ, my Lord. Then he goes on talking about don't let sin reign in your mortal body. So in other words, you can let it reign, but that's why the previous verse says, count yourself dead to it. Yes. Reckon yourself dead to it. Verse 14, for sin shall not have dominion over you, for you are not under the law, but under grace. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? What's the answer again? God forbid. No, we're supposed, it's not that, you know, since we're not under the law, anything goes.
Right.
No, it's that we are free from it now. And what couldn't give us freedom through the law, we now have through Christ. And that's why the eighth chapter goes on to say in verse 1, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Galatians talks about this, that if you are led by the Spirit, you're not under the law. Why? Because if you're led by the Spirit, you're going to do the same things that the law revealed you should do, whether you know the law or not. You'll do it intuitively because the author of the book lives inside you and is directing you right, wrong, good, bad. It's not saying the law doesn't matter anymore and it's all passed away. It's not saying that. It's just saying that you're going to do intuitively what the law said to do by the leading of the Spirit. Verse 2 says, "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Come on, say that out loud, everybody. Say it together. "For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." Regardless of what issues you might be having, faith even called those things that be not as though they were. Faith is not saying something just based on how it looks or how it feels. Even if you've made a mistake again in an area, you ought to open your mouth and say, "I'm free from sin. I'm dead to sin. Sin shall not have dominion over me. I am not the servant of sin." Say it. Agree with God. Not just now, but tomorrow, the next day, right? Anytime that you're dealing with any of these things, say it out loud. Affirm it. Decree it. What the enemy wants you to do is get discouraged and exasperated and go, "I can't help it. There's nothing I can do to fix it. There's no hope." Well, he's got you then. Do you see that? No, you resist that. Even if you've made a lot of mistakes, you resist it by saying, "Uh-uh." No, what Jesus did is effective for me.
That's right.
Hallelujah. And whether I'm walking in all of it or not, whether I understand it or not, I'm agreeing with him. And I'm saying, "Yes, I am dead to sin and I'm alive to God through Jesus Christ. And sin shall not have dominion over me. I am not the servant of sin." Hallelujah. Say it. Say it. Say it. And when every time you say it as a choice of faith and conviction, you open the door for the Holy Spirit to come help you. Hallelujah. Well, that was worth you hearing right there to come out today. Now, we began talking about on our last session about what sin is. Look with me in 1 John, the 3rd chapter, please. 1 John chapter 3. And I introduced some thoughts last time that might have been a little new to your thinking. But examine it in line with the Word. Don't just take my word or any preacher's word for things. Take it to the book. In 1 John 3 and 4, what is sin? The Proverbs said, Proverbs 14 and 9, you don't have to turn there, but it says, "Fools mock sin." You'll find a lot of people today, they mock at the very idea of sin. And again, these are many times unbelievers. And people will try to tell you, "Well, you've got your truth, and I have my truth, and you just need to be true to your truth." Well, those are lies. Truth is not relative. Truth is truth whether you think so or not, or whether you believe it or not. And you believing something is true does not make it true. Huh? Are y'all with me now? Jesus said His word is truth, and that he himself is truth. And the Holy Spirit is the spirit of truth. Hallelujah. You want to find truth, you got to go to God. And this truth is not relative. It is not changing. It is forever settled in heaven. And all the word of God is truth. Now, in 1 John 3 and 4, he said, whoever commits sin transgresses also the law. For sin is the transgression of the law. Now, am I reading New Testament scripture? And yet he's talking about the law. Now, we touched on last week that I said a couple of years ago, the Lord quickened to me and actually corrected me. I don't mean I heard an audible voice, but inside me as I was seeking the Lord on some things, he caused me to know this. He said that, Keith, you don't respect what you call the Old Testament enough. Now that surprised me, because actually in my mind, I thought I might have respected it more than some other people. But he said, you see it as a secondary word of God that in many cases is irrelevant to today. Man, I about dropped my cup I had in my hand. I thought, Lord, that don't sound good, you know. And I began to examine myself on it. And I realized it wasn't just me. It's what I had heard my whole life. Are y'all with me or not? And then I began to look in the scriptures, and the Lord pointed this out to me in Romans, in the New Testament, and the 7th chapter, 7 and 12, he said, the law is holy. Is that right or not? And the commandment is holy. And what? And just. And good. Not was. Not used to be. Not has passed away. Is. Is. And you'll find that most church-going people, they have a skewed perception of what people call the Old Testament. Amen. And don't realize that the writers of the New Testament are continually referring to it as the Word of God, as scriptures, not something that's irrelevant or secondary or passed away. Y'all awake or not?
Yes.
And so, the Lord quickened to me that I was looking at it as a secondary word of God. And that in some cases, irrelevant. And he brought this to me, you know, that verse 14 in that same chapter said, the law is spiritual. The law is spiritual. And if you read this 7th chapter, this whole 7th and 6th chapter, you'll find he keeps talking about the law, that the law is right. The law is good. The law is perfect. There was never anything wrong with the law. And the law was given to reveal what sin is. Go with me. We referred to the 7th chapter. But let's see. What place are you holding right now, do you? Yeah, 1 John. Just hold on to that. But we'll put this on the screen. Romans 3 and 20. Romans 3:20 says, by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. We're not saved by keeping the law. We're not made righteous by keeping the law. But keep going. For by this is 3:20. Is that right? For by the law is what? The knowledge of sin. And the NIV says it like this: through the law, we become conscious of sin. So can you see why we must talk about this? Because you won't even know what sin is. The law was given to identify sin and reveal what sin is. And he goes in the 31st verse, he says, this is Romans 3:31. Do we then void the law? I'll wait till it comes up. Do we make void the law through faith? Well, there's that word again. God forbid. Yea, we establish the law. Now, you've read this, so your mind's in the right place. But I'm telling you, with many, many churches, if you phrased this in a different way, and you said, well, since we're justified by faith now, does that make the law of no effect? How many people would say, well, right. Yeah, the law is no longer... That's contrary to New Testament Scripture.
Amen.
Can you see that? We establish the law. Now, the, you know, somebody said, what are you talking about when you're talking about the law? Well, the most clear revelation of what the law is the Ten Commandments. And there are a lot of statutes and ordinances given around that. But the Ten Commandments, people say, well, do we have to keep the Ten Commandments? Well, what's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Why do you want to ask that question? Huh? Do the Ten Commandments reveal right and wrong?
Yes.
Good and evil?
Yes.
Is lying okay today under grace?
No.
Stealing okay today? Worshiping other gods?
No.
Being disrespectful to your parents?
No.
Huh? Coveting other people's spouse and their things, and just as wrong now as it ever was. Now, if you had never read the Ten Commandments, but you got born again and received the Holy Spirit, and you would pray and you would listen to the Holy Spirit inside you, He would check you about lying or stealing. Is that right? Or coveting. I mean, you're going to wind up doing what God said. And the difference is, under the new covenant, we're not just weak through the flesh only to keep it. We got the greater one living on the inside to help us with it. And if we come short, we got the blood of the Lamb to wash us. Huh? But there was never anything wrong with the law. It was perfect. It is perfect. It will be perfect. Y'all okay with this?
Yes.
Now, go to Genesis, the third chapter, and let's look at the first sin. Because you will see the enemy works the same way as today, and human beings falling the same way today. Even though it was all these centuries and centuries ago. Genesis 2, let's look at 2 first off, 2:16 and 17. And let me just preface this. Genesis is not mythology. It's not a myth. It's not. Now you can believe whatever you want to, but it happened. People say, well, you know, no, there was a big bang. When God said, let there be light, there might have been a big bang. I don't know.
Yeah.
But you weren't there.
Right.
So you don't know.
So
and so you got to remember, you know, when it comes to the ideas of creation, godless creation, as well as evolution and these kind of things, these are theories.
Yes.
unproven theories. Why? Because nobody was there. None of us were there to see it. And you say, oh no, it's proven now. It is not. Come on now. If you're smart as you think you are, do a little more reading. You'll find evolution has been revised and updated multiple times in the last few years. Why? It's a theory. I'm going to tell you something else that's very serious. Racism has its roots in evolution. If you believe in evolution, then you have ties to racism. Can't help it. But if you believe in Genesis, we all got the same mama. Don't matter what shade you are. Where you can, somebody said a brother from a different mother. Brother from the same. Same mama. Eve. And like Acts says, God has made of one blood. One blood. All this talk about pure blood this and pure blood that, that's junk. That's garbage. It's not confirmed in science. It is not. The truth will make you free. I said the truth will make you free. Free. Makes me happy. Hallelujah. Because that way y'all are just religious, excited about it. Yeah, leave me alone. I'm happy. Leave me alone. I'm happy. It's answers is what it is. In Genesis 2:16, God commanded the man saying, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat. And I guess there were lots of different trees in the garden. And so you can just eat all you want, everywhere, anytime, all the time, except this one. The tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat of it. Now you'll hear people today says, you know, now I don't like these absolutes. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Well, who are you mocking and making fun of? I didn't write that. And the Ten Commandments. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt not. Thou shalt. That's just old English King James for don't do it. Right? Well, I don't like do's and don'ts. It don't matter what you like. Right is right and wrong is wrong. And yeah, you can do whatever you choose to do, but don't come crying to us when it hurts you and bites you. Because the wages of sin is death. And you're not free to sin, you'd be the servant of sin. Amen. So the Lord says, you shall not eat of it, for in the day that you eat thereof, you shall surely die. Now, when God says this will absolutely happen, should you believe Him?
Yes.
Yeah, you should. Now, don't get resentful towards Adam and Eve. I can already feel it. You're going, them rascals, man. If they had listened to God, we'd still be in the garden. Yeah, and if you'd have listened to God or I listened to God, we wouldn't have had the mistakes. All of us have already done what they did.
Come on.
The only way you could say you haven't is to say you have never sinned. And then we'd have to give an altar call for liars. Somebody say, you shall not eat of it. Now, Genesis 3, the third chapter, and the first verse, Genesis 3 and 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. Subtle means not obvious, but sneaky, tricky. not coming to the front door, sneaking in the back window. And that's the devil. He never comes, obviously. His favorite thing is for him to be doing stuff and you don't even know it's him. That's what he tries to do all the time. But the Bible says we are not ignorant of his devices. And he comes and says to the woman, I want you to notice the very first part of the devil's attack. Now, you've read this maybe, or maybe you know the story. The result is going to be sin. Right? Sin. And how did the enemy get them into it? The first thing he did was this. He said to the woman, yea, has God said? Are y'all listening?
Yes.
What's the first thing he attacks? What God said. If he cannot get them to turn loose of what God said, he will not be able to deceive them and get them into sin. He knows that, whether they know it or not. So the first thing he does is question. Huh?
Yeah.
Question what God said. Has God said? Did he know what God said? He absolutely knew what God... He's not asking because he's confused or don't know. He's trying to confuse them. So it'll always be a question. And that's why the title of today and my last message was, is it a sin? Is it a sin? If the enemy can get you into what you're thinking, well, you know, some people say it is and some people don't. And it's kind of a gray area. You will find nothing about gray areas in the scriptures. No. How can I answer the question? Well, the law revealed sin. Told us what sin is. Some of the most obvious is, you know, thou shalt not bear false witness. That's lying. Is lying wrong?
Yes.
It used to be wrong. Huh? Long time ago it was wrong. Will lying always be wrong?
Yes.
Yes. But see, the enemy will come and say, yeah, but you know, did God really say lying? See, he gets technical. Huh? And makes it complex and complicated. And, you know, like what is lying? Have you ever heard any of this stuff before? You hear it all the time. What is, I mean, like, what's a lie to you might not be a lie to me. And what is lying anyway? listen to these other translations. The ESV says, he said to the woman, did God actually say you'll not eat of any tree in the garden? Did he actually say it? Maybe you misunderstood. You know, y'all were relaxed in the garden, you know. He was in the middle of a phrase and the peacock yelled out over here. And, you know, what did he actually say? The Amplified says, Satan said to the woman, can it really be that God has said You shall not eat from every tree of the garden. The young's literal said, he said, is it true? Is it true? Now see, later on, when she Eve responded and said, well, then he backs up and says, you won't surely die. But see, denying is too harsh to start with. He had to warm them up with getting them to question it. Questioning means you're open to something else. If you're not open to something else, you will shut them down right now. Come on, y'all with me? And say, yeah, God said it. What about it? But we're just not sure. Well, I'm sure. I'm sure. It is written. He said it. That's the way it is. See, if he had not been able to move them off that, he could have never gotten them to disobey God. It had to start with that. And you'll find that the enemy has done that. He's especially doing it in a lot of universities. In a lot of places of higher education. He's doing it in grammar schools. Questioning. Well, we don't really know if that Genesis account, it could just be mythology. But it's got some great, you know, principles. And we know that people can't be born of a virgin mother. But it's the teachings of Jesus that matter. Well, see, if you buy into that, the enemy's already got you. He's already got you. He's taking you down the road and he's heading you towards destruction. Because if you compromise that, you'll compromise the next thing and it'll get worse and it'll get worse. The only way to be safe is to do what Jesus did when he was tempted 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't say, they preach at the synagogue. Some folks think, some people believe. He said, it is written. Done. Done. He is not open to any discussion. Somebody said, well, y'all just narrow-minded. Yeah, and saved. And saved. There is a broad way that's open to all interpretations that leads right off into hell and destruction. And there's a straight and narrow way. Jesus said, I am the way. The way. Not a way. Not one of many. The way, the truth, the life. Nobody comes to the Father except by me. Now I'm a Jesusite. And so whatever he says to me, that's right. And I'm going to side with him. And I'm going to stay with that. And I'm not open to discussion. Not open. He's right. So, did God really say? Is it really true? Could it be? And so Eve says, well, yeah, you know, verse 2, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Well, that's what God said in the previous verse. Keep going. But the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. Some people make a big deal out of the touching thing. How do you know God didn't tell them not to touch it? He communes with them on a regular basis every day. How many think it's a good idea? Don't be around a tree. Right? Right? If you never get close enough to touch it, well, you can't pull no fruit off of it and eat it. Is that right? Good idea. So I don't think there's anything there to get hung up on. But the serpent replies, you shall not surely die. This is just a lie. I said it's a lie. But that's not where he started. He started. That's why I'm talking about, is it a sin? You have all kind of ideas, all kind of, how can you answer that question so that it is done? If the Bible said it's wrong, if the Bible ever said it was wrong, are y'all with me or not? Then it's wrong. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his words will not pass away. Go to 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter, and then also please go to Mark, the 7th chapter. 2 Corinthians 10 and Mark 7. Is this okay, everybody? Feeling all right? We're going to see some more about what we just touched on, but I'm going to make a big, big statement. And think about it, meditate upon it after today. Our entire life and our eternity is determined by our response to His Word. Are y'all with me? Whether our life is good or bad or mixed up, whether we go to heaven or hell, our entire existence is based on our response to His Word. And the enemy knows this better than human beings. So what's the first thing he attacks? The Word. And tries to get you to at least question it. Can you see this? Did God really say that? Did He mean that? And you just gotta be honest with yourself. Your flesh, your body, is not born again. It's exactly the same as an unbeliever's body. It'll want to do the same things it did before you got saved. Y'all are too quiet. And if you don't control it. And when your body, when your flesh, and part of that's your unrenewed mind, wants to do something and really wants to do it, even if your heart knows it's wrong, then your unrenewed mind will go through mental gymnastics to justify it somehow. Come on, is that right? Well, we just don't really know if that's wrong or not. Well, I can give you scriptures that if that's your response, it's wrong for you. That's one of the definitions of sin. If you can't do it without a sense of its approval by God, Romans 14:23, it's sin to you. Whatever is not of faith is sin. But, you know, that's what people do. They want to justify it somehow and make it okay. But if you do, you've lost your safety. You've lost the anchor of your soul. And you'll become a servant and in bondage to that sin. And maybe you've convinced everybody around you that it's okay, but you'll still be in bondage. And the Word will still be right. 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. Well, I tell you what, no, go to Mark 7 first. Our time is clicking by. Mark 7 and verse 1. Mark 7, 1. Then came together to him the Pharisees and certain of the scribes which came from Jerusalem, Now these are the religious leaders of the area. They are the ones, the scribes are those that would, for modern comparison, they have doctorate degrees in theology. This is a time when a lot of people couldn't even read or write. But these folks, they've made a lifetime studying what we call the Old Testament, the law and the prophets. And of course, the Pharisees, they were the strictest sect as far in their minds of keeping the law. And they were the strongest, at least outwardly, supporters of Moses and what God gave Moses. And so the writings of Leviticus, Exodus, Deuteronomy, all those things. So they come together when they saw Jesus' disciples go to eat and they didn't wash their hands. And they found fault. Right. And verse 3, the Pharisees and all the Jews, except they wash their hands often, they don't eat until, and if they've done that, holding the tradition of the elders. Now, did they get this from the Word? No. Where'd they get this? Elders. Tradition. Now, the word tradition means that which is handed down. Something that is handed down, especially from generation to generation. Handed down. But here's the big issue. It's not Scripture. It's not Word. But verse 4, when they come from the market, except they wash, they don't eat. And many other things there be which they have received to hold as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and tables, because cleanliness is next to godliness. I want you to say it out loud with me. Not a Scripture. Not a Scripture. Ain't nothing wrong with being clean. I like my plate clean when I eat off of it. I do. And my fork too. And my glass. I like. But that won't make you holy. Huh? It won't make you right. It won't make you good. Is everybody awake?
Yes.
You will find the church worldwide is filled with sayings.
Yes. Come on.
Sayings. Have you ever noticed how many things there are on church signs? As you drive by and you see a church sign, and it'll have this witty saying. I want you to remind yourself every time. Are y'all awake? Are y'all listening? Every time you see or hear these things, I want you to question yourself and go, is that Scripture? Is that Scripture? Hmm? So, Mr. Well, what's the big deal? It is a huge deal. It is a trick of the enemy to work something into the corporate consciousness and associate it with Scripture. And if it's around long enough, it becomes so familiar and so similar sounding. And you'll find people even use the these and thous, you know, to help dress it up. And the enemy is not just trying to get you to say something that's not a Scripture. He has a worse agenda than that. He plans to get you, and if not you, your kids or your grandkids to use that instead of a Scripture. To replace Scripture with a saying. And sadly, Most folks don't even know what the Bible says enough to know that it's not a scripture. Huh? And like the Lord said to me, you're looking at the what people call the Old Testament as a secondary word of God, and that parts of it not even relevant. That is 59% of the word of God. What we call the Old Testament. 59%, the enemy has convinced millions of people that 59% of the Word of God, he has nullified it as far as they're concerned. They don't look to it for answers. Many don't even know what's in there. Somebody say, not me.
Not me.
Not me. By the grace of God, I will respect the whole Word of God. The entire Word of God. See, keep reading. He said, verse 6. Well, excuse me. Yeah. Back up. They ask him, these experts on the law, they accost Jesus. And they say, why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders? They don't even notice that they're quoting tradition.
Right.
Like it is the oracles of God. But they're all upset. They're all worked up. Because they said, they eat bread. They didn't wash their hands. They didn't wash their hands. Are you just going to let that stand? Why? Because they all washed their hands. And all their friends washed their hands. And all the preachers. Huh? And the choir. Huh? And the ushers. Washed their hands. And I saw Peter and John. He just walked right in, sat down at the table. The wash basin was right there. He walked right by it. Sit down at the table. They're upset. About what? Their tradition. See, this is the big deal. If it's your tradition, you can take pride in what you came up with. Verse 6. But they didn't know what they walked into. Jesus said, well, that brings to mind a scripture. You know, Isaiah prophesied about you. Hypocrites. Woo! He said, this people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. Oh yeah, they know all the right things to say. Hypocrites. This was not what they expected. He said, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. We need to look at this. He's saying that then and they and there, their worship was vain. Vain means good for nothing. People worshiping God and it amounts to nothing. Why? Because they didn't teach the word. They taught traditions. They taught sayings. Sayings. Commandments of men. Verse 8. For laying aside the commandment of God. Can you see the enemy's intent on this? Why he pushes these sayings so much? He plans to get people to replace the Word of God with these sayings. Laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the tradition of men as the washing of pots and cups and many such like things you do. He's saying there's a bunch of these kind of things you do. And he said to them, full well, you what?
Reject.
Reject the commandment of God. Why? To keep your own tradition. Now, I am sure when he said that, it made them mad. And they're thinking, we do not, we do not. You know, they saw themselves as the champions of the law and Moses. And the experts who knew all about it. He said, He said, you have rejected the commandment of God. Oh, that was like slapping them with a wet dish rag there. And he said, you did it so you could keep your little tradition, your little pot washing. And I'm sure they're thinking, no, we didn't. No, we have not. No, we have not. And then he tells them how. Moses said, now just that phrase got their attention because they think they are experts on what Moses said. Moses said, honor your father and your mother. That's one of the top 10. 10 commandments. Right? Is this still right today?
Yes.
Now Jesus is introducing, you'll find, especially like Matthew 5, Jesus didn't preach the law. He preached gospel of the kingdom. He's introducing the new covenant. And yet, if all of this, the Ten Commandments and all that's going to pass away, there wouldn't be any need to talk about this like this.
Right?
You'd just say, well, no need touching on that. That's all going to be irrelevant in a few days anyway. He's stating it like it is forever truth. He said, Moses said, honor your father and your mother. And in fact, if somebody cursed father and mother, I mean under the law, you better not slap mama. It was punishable by death. You do not cuss your father out. You do not assault them physically or do harm to them and disrespect and dishonor them. Is it still wrong today? Come on here with me. Somebody said, well, why don't we stone them today? Because Jesus took the punishment. Hallelujah. For all of it. No. He's already paid for it. Whether folks receive it or not. Keep going. If a man, he said, you say, Moses said this, and he got it from God. But he said, you say, if a man will say to his father or mother, it is Korban. They got a new revelation. And you know, when people want to hide something, they use names in languages that nobody understands. And they make it complicated. Huh? And the bigger the crook, the bigger the documents. Make it so complicated that nobody can understand it. And so they had this thing, Korban. What's Korban? Ask a guy on the street. He said, I don't know. Is that a new rock group? What is that? Korban. It's a gift. By whatsoever you might be profited by me, he shall be free. Interesting things here. Jesus is interpreting honoring father and mother to include doing things for them financially and materially. Which is one of the reasons you want to believe for prosperity and abundance so you can do things. Y'all with me or not? Yeah, you can do things for your kids. You can do things for your grandchildren. You can do things for your parents and for your grandparents. Y'all are too quiet. It's God's will. I said it's God's will. And that's why you need to believe for way out beyond what it takes to run you personally. God wants you to honor. He wants you to honor Him. Honor His things. Right? Honor your parents. And that's natural and spiritual. And he said, though, he said, you have come up with this Korban thing. And you say, well, yeah, Moses said, honor your father and mother. but did he really mean financial? And what if you want to dedicate more of your finances to the kingdom? And so you, of course, when it's going to the temple, that's where these guys are. Yeah. Can you see this? This is a convenient revelation. If you say, well, no, I've committed more of my finances to the temple. Then they say, yeah, that's fine. Then you are relieved from doing anything for your mama and daddy. You're free from that obligation. And verse 12, and you suffer. You don't allow him anymore to do aught for his father and mother. Why? Because that money's got to come to the temple. Making the word of God of none effect through your tradition, which you have delivered, and many, that's not the only one. He said you do a lot of things that are just that way. Listen to another translation. The NIV says, thus you nullify the word of God by your tradition that you have handed down. The New Living says, and so you cancel the word of God in order to hand down your own tradition. The Amplified, put up the Amplified on it. It says it like this. So you nullify the authority of the word of God, acting as if it did not apply, because of your tradition which you have handed down through the elders, and you do many things such as that. There are so many scriptures in what people call the Old Testament that tell you very clearly, this is wrong. This is wrong, this is wrong, this is wrong. But you'll find all kind of folks doing it in today's society because they say, yeah, but that's Old Testament. And so, yeah, but when did it become okay? And why did it become okay? It used to be wrong. It used to be really wrong. Why is it okay now? Used to be wrong to dishonor your father and mother. Huh? But see, they came up with this revelation, with this doctrine that justified acting like that commandment was not even there. Can y'all see this or not? That is going on in front of us, behind us, on both sides of us, all over the place. People say, well, yeah, you know, but what if people are really in love? Huh? Does that nullify scripture? Does it mean just ignore it? Just act like it's not there? Huh? Y'all okay? In closing, go to 2 Corinthians. We did not get through, but hope you can come back. 2 Corinthians, the 10th chapter. Beware of sayings. Beware of reasonings. Rationalizing. Justifying. Don't let anybody cause you to question the word. Is it in the scripture? Did the Lord ever say this was right or wrong? You know, I've heard people try to say, well, you know, Paul was in quite a bit of a disagreement with Jesus. Are you joking? Huh? And to hear some people talk, Jesus is representing a completely different God than you see Moses talk about. It's like two different gods. And people say, well, yeah, but now, you know, Jesus preached love and acceptance. That's a saying. It is not a scripture. And it is not true. Y'all listening or not? Somebody says, not true. Not true. And I'm not saying that because I know so much. The Lord corrected me on it. I was hearing somebody say that. This was years ago. And the person said, well, Jesus preached love and acceptance. And I mean, before they finished the sentence, the Spirit of God inside me spoke up and said, no, I didn't. No, I didn't. I thought, No, he didn't. So I got my little nose back in the Bible. What exactly did the scripture say he preached? You will not find acceptance. You will find repentance. Now, there's a lot of difference between acceptance and repentance. Repentance means you need to change. Right? He did not preach. See, and besides that, a lot of people that talk like that are unbelievers. Don't let some confused unbeliever tell you who Jesus is or what he said or what he did. Come on. Don't be that dull. I've looked it up. He preached repentance and the gospel of the kingdom of God. That's what he preached. He commanded us to love each other the way he loves us. Does it matter what the Bible says? Or can you just go with anything that anybody comes up with? Huh? Watch out for sayings. Watch out for reasonings. Just because it sounds okay, it sounds religious, doesn't mean it is. The enemy can be trying to worm something in that he plans on getting you to replace Scripture with it. Jesus said to them, and these were people that had spent years studying the law. He said, you have nullified the Word of God by these traditions that you have come up with. Somebody say, not me by the grace of God. Not me by the grace of God. 2 Corinthians 10. I know it's time to go. 2 Corinthians 10 and 4. 10:4. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Now, people have sometimes jumped off on a tangent of what they imagine this stronghold means, but you don't have to try to do that. Read the next verse. He tells you what kind of stronghold he's talking about. Casting down imaginations and every high thing that does what? Exalts itself. Isn't that what the devil did?
Yes.
With Eve and Adam? First of all, he questions it. Did God really say it? Then he comes right out and opposes it. No, that's not really what's going to happen. Is that exalting itself against what God said and the knowledge of God? The Weiss translation says, demolishing reasonings and every haughty mental elevation. Weymouth says, we overthrow arrogant reckonings. The NAS says we are destroying speculations and every lofty thing raising itself against the knowledge of God. The easy to read says we tear down every proud idea that raises itself against the knowledge of God, and we capture every thought and make it give up and obey Christ. Don't you like that? Any thought, any reasoning, any saying. Now, if you don't know the word, you're going to be behind, you know, trying to deal with this. But if you know the word, when something contradicts it, man, it hits you just like that. The Holy Spirit brings it to you. You go, oh, no, well, hold on. Now, these three scriptures say this. So that can't be right. And then what do? You grab that thing by the throat. You say, ah, you grab it. and you slam it. Wham! Wham! And you say, I see that ugly thought. You give it up. Give it up. Give it up. Because around here, we're going to honor what God has said. And that's going to be triumphant over everything. And if we'll hold fast to that, the enemy can't move you. He can't get you into the sin and destruction that he wants to do. It stops before it begins. Stand on your feet, everybody.